You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Man, it is great to worship with all of you. It's great to have our voices singing as one. So grateful to start our week that way. I want us to take a minute to welcome everyone on the live stream as well. We're so thankful that you're with us. We're praying for you, expecting God to move in your life this morning as you tune in online. If we've never gotten a chance to meet before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and I've been praying for our time together all week long. All week long, been praying for our time together because I believe that God wants to move in our midst. You know, at the Vineyard, we're just kind of crazy enough that we actually believe all the stuff we read in here. We believe that God's presence is with us, that he's among us, that his power wants to move in our lives, transforming us from the inside out. Imagine how boring Christianity would be if it was just a history lesson every time we got together. But God is still alive and he's still active among us. And I know he has promises for our lives from this day forward. For the next few weeks, we're in this series called Kingdom Expectations, basically looking at what we can expect our life as we follow God to look like. Last week, we introduced the series by talking about how we're promised and we can expect freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom as we follow Christ. And today, we're talking about how you can expect healing. How you can pray for and expect healing because of all Christ has done in your life. We're talking healing in your soul, healing in your mind, even healing in your physical body. In our family, the Faust family, we have a recent healing story, and I want to start by sharing that story. It's just not my story. It's my son's story. And so I want to invite Kingston to come on up. Kingston, grab the mic. Let's welcome Kingston up on... Listen, now that blessed my heart, but it kind of also hurt my heart because you get way more of an applause than what I do. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, yeah. Listen, last year, every year, the Vineyard USA entity, they have a national conference. Our next one's coming up in Denver in June. It's not too late to sign up for that. It's a powerful time together. But we go every year, and they always have something for kids and youth as well. And Kingston really experienced God's power at last national conference. And so we just want to start by having you share a little bit about how you encountered God and how you experienced healing.
Yeah, our family went out a couple days early to go up to the mountains because we heard there was a natural water slide, which is a giant smooth rock with water,
right? Yeah, it sounds just like it's titled, right?
Yeah, you just go up and come down into a pool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And on my second or third slide, I hit my elbow on one of the rocks, and it started to bruise.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, though, that's not anything like a big deal. But because I have hemophilia, which means that I can't clot, it was a lot bigger of a deal.
And just a quick question, just so all the room is on the same page. When you hit your elbow and you started to suffer from this internal bleeding, did you tell mom and dad about that bleed?
No.
It has begun. The hiding of information from mom and dad. We're working on doing this, but it was a double bummer because not only did you not tell us, but also mom and dad forgot his medicine. We forgot his medicine at home, and the gig with hemophilia is you do bleed and keep on bleeding. Mm-hmm. You don't have a clotting mechanism, but if we give you a shot, then it kind of helps you clot your blood and we move forward, but we forgot the medicine at home. That one is on mom and dad, but we... We left it at home. Okay, so you've got this bleed happening in your elbow, and then what?
Fast forward a couple days to the first night of National Conference. I was in the youth tent. We were doing worship, and somebody had a talk. And at the end of the talk, they had some ministry time, and somebody had a prophetic word. And that prophetic word happened to be, does anybody have any left elbow pain?
That specific?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you hear that, like, what's happening, what's going on for you?
Well, I didn't tell anybody.
Okay, this is a pattern, this is a theme.
So, I knew that it must not be from us, humans, it probably is from God. And so I slowly raised my right hand, and the person who was having that prophetic word, she asked everybody in the room to pray for me. And so a couple seconds later, there were 200 plus people just sticking their hands out in prayer at me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, that's a... This room has a little more than 200 people in it. Imagine if everyone stuck their hand out and started praying for you right now. I mean, how did that make you feel? Was that cool?
Was it a little awkward? But it's also kind of cool because to know that that many people are praying for you and caring for you, it feels kind of nice.
Yeah. So when they started praying, like, what started happening? How did you begin to experience God?
Well, I've had so many bleeds in my life that I kind of knew what it felt like for the swelling to be going away. And so when the prayer ended, I kind of felt like 50%. And so they prayed for me again.
Yeah.
And so there's 200 plus people again sticking their hands out.
So they pray for you the first time. Half the swelling is gone.
Yeah.
And are you like freaking out at that time? Or are you just kind of like, this is really strange? Like, sure, pray again. I mean, what was happening for you?
Kind of like, this is kind of strange. Just, okay, you can pray for me again.
Okay.
So at the end of the next prayer, though, my eyes started watering because I knew that there was no bruising.
Your eyes started watering because you were, like, crying?
Yeah.
Is that you were? I love that so much.
Because there was no bruising, there was no coloring, no pain, not even any sign of injury.
All the bruising was gone, too.
Yes.
So I remember when this happened because I knew the person who was leading the youth event. Her name was Kirsten. She was from the Midwest, so I had a relationship with her. I tracked her down, and I said, hey, that little word that you gave, anyone have pain in their left elbow, I want you to know that that kid that experienced healing, that was my son. But what you don't know is that he also has severe hemophilia. If he starts bleeding, he actually doesn't stop, and we forgot his medicine. And so not only was all of the swelling instantly removed, the bruising, there was no color of bruising in your elbow. That was immediately removed. You had full mobility, no pain. And somehow, miraculously, without medicine, your blood internally clotted.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty incredible. From that experience and in that moment, what do you feel like? I mean, do you still, to the best of your knowledge, do you know if you still have hemophilia?
Yeah, I still have hemophilia.
We had to give you a shot last week, right? Mm-hmm. But in that moment, you experienced this healing touch. And I'm curious, what do you think God's been talking to you about, either in that moment or even, you know, today, from that day forward?
Yeah, two things. One, I feel like he was just trying to tell me that he listens to our prayers, that he always knows that we're praying to him, and if he doesn't answer, he still knows that you're praying to him.
Yep.
And two, I feel like he wanted to raise my healing expectation because I was in a place where I was hurt and I was worried because I didn't want to miss anything later in the week.
Yep.
So I feel like he's letting me know that prayer can heal.
Prayer can heal. I love it. Let's finish with that. Can we thank Kingston for coming on up? Thanks, buddy. Love you, man. Thanks for sharing your story with us, and you get to decide now if you're going to hang out and listen to my sermon or if you're going to go back with the middle schoolers. He made his decision real fast. Did anybody else notice that? Deuces, and he's out the back. I love it. Listen, we want to talk about healing today, but we felt like it was appropriate to start with a story about how God still moves among us. Like I said, Christianity isn't a history lesson. It's not just talking about what God did in the previous generation or thousands of years ago, but how God is moving in our lives today. And the intersection of faith and healing and the power of God, it's a really interesting topic, right? Because for some of us, this topic of faith and healing has been abused in our past. Sometimes people will get blamed for their lack of healing because of some kind of lack of faith or the perception of lack of faith. Sometimes people will be promised healing so long as you give a big enough offering or you give a double tithe. Then that healing will be released to you. And still others are told that God does not move like this anymore. But all of those are bad examples. And we never want bad examples to keep us from biblical ones. And so we're going to talk about healing today, how it shows up in Scripture, how it can show up in our lives, because one of the most biblical things that you can do is pray for the sick. It's one of the most biblical things you can do. Healing prayer is everywhere in Scripture. And if you want to experience God, I would say this is a great place to start, by praying for those around you who are sick. It's part of living a biblical life. Now, there are tons of passages in the Old and New Testament, passages about healing from Elijah all the way to the early church. We have time for one passage this morning. So let's open up to Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. This is what it says. When Jesus had finished saying all of this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under authority over my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. When I read this story, it doesn't take very long for it to dawn on me that this is the kind of faith I want to have. I want to have a faith and an expectation that leads to a Christ-centered and Christ-empowered and Christ-led transformation. I want that for my own life, and I want that to be said about you, that your faith can catch the attention of Jesus. I want that for our church. That when Jesus thinks about the Vineyard Church, when he thinks about your life and when he thinks about mine, he might say, "I've never seen faith like this before. I've never seen faith like this before." It's an amazing passage. And by the way, that phrase, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel, it's a really interesting phrase. It's almost comical, because at the time when Jesus said that, he was surrounded by Israelites. And so it's both an encouragement to this man's faith, but also a bit of a correction to the Israelites. I mean, here we have a Roman centurion. He's an outsider. He's an oppressor. He's part of the Roman overlords who are taxing the people and putting military pressure on them, making their lives incredibly difficult. Yet he was a man of great faith, faith unlike anyone else that Jesus had seen in all of Israel, and he was placing his faith in the person of Jesus. Have you ever placed your faith in Jesus? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, then we're so glad that you're here at the Vineyard. We always invite people every Sunday morning when we gather to make a personal decision to place their life and their faith in Jesus. When you make that kind of decision, you're promised eternal life, but you're also promised forgiveness, and you're promised salvation, and you're promised the experience of heaven on earth, even if it's just little by little by little. If you've never given your life to Christ and you'd like to make a decision that has eternal ramifications, and we will invite you to make that decision later in our time together. But even beyond salvation, this man's faith is important for us to talk about, because healing and faith, they often go together. Healing and faith often grow together. You need faith from God and in God and for God to move. And it always helps when you have faith that catches the attention and catches the eye of Jesus. But that's not to say that real faith is blind. Real faith isn't blind. And like a lot of teachings from the life of Jesus, you can find tension in these pages. You can find tension in these experiences, and that's okay, because expectant faith lives in tension. Expectant faith lives in tension. You can have great and expectant faith and still live in tension. You can expect healing and expect God's power to move and still understand that this side of heaven, we do live in a bit of now and not yet when it comes to experiencing the kingdom. You know, one of the most amazing promises of walking with God is that you can pray for the sick and you can experience healing in your everyday life with God, that it's not just up to pastors to pray for the sick and experience healing, but you can pray for the sick and experience healing. Jesus healed the sick and he taught his disciples to do the same. And much of the New Testament encourages believers to gather together, to lay hands on one another, and to contend for healing. Jesus himself taught us to pray, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And if you've never really thought about the impact of that prayer, just let yourself drift to heaven for a moment and imagine what it's like. There are no sick people in heaven. Everyone is perfectly healthy. And so when Jesus encourages us to pray, "Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," we're asking for the promises of heaven to break into our life today. And we're living in tension. Because even with Kingston's story, there's tension. For the rest of his life, he'll have that moment at National Conference where he was healed by the power of God, one where he was surprised by the movement of God, where 200 teenagers stuck out their hand and prayed not once but twice for him to experience God's healing touch. And just last week, we had to give him medicine for hemophilia. I mean, how do you navigate that other than realizing that part of living life with God this side of heaven, there will be tension. There'll be moments of healing and there'll be moments of medicine, and we're going to take everything in between. Great faith and expectant faith can still embrace the tension. It doesn't mean that your faith is less powerful. It doesn't mean that your faith is less expectant of God to move. I happen to think it makes it more real and more authentic, because you're not ignoring the reality of what's happening. You're just honestly sitting with God and saying, "I'm praying for the miracles, I'm praying the big prayers, and I'm going to leave all the results up to you." I mean, inside our scripture today, there's all kinds of tension. Even beyond talking about faith, there's all kinds of tension in this passage. If you think about verse 3, it says the centurion sends some Jewish friends to go talk with Jesus, inviting them to his house. But by verse 6, he sends other friends and says, "No, don't even come." So is it come or not come? Right? In verse 5, it's all about how if anyone deserves a miracle, it's this guy. He loves our people. He even built a synagogue. What an interesting thing to say, too. If anyone deserves a miracle, I'm not sure any of us fit squarely into that category. The centurion even knew it, because by verse 6, he says, no, don't even come to my house. I'm not even worthy enough to come and meet you. All you have to do, the centurion says, is say this or say that, say a word, and it will happen. And Jesus doesn't say any of those words. And the next thing you know, this man's servant is completely healed. Then by the end of verse 9, Jesus said to the crowd, again, who's full of Israelites, he says that a Roman centurion, a non-religious oppressor of the day, has more faith than he's seen in the entire land. How radical was this story? Tensions everywhere in this passage, and tension pops up all over the place from the life of Christ. They're not hidden from the stories in the life of Jesus, and I love that, because it gives us solace. We can embrace the tension. If the early believers and early followers of Jesus lived in that tension, it means we can too. We don't have to shy away from it or ignore the fact that it's there. Great and powerful faith for healing, it doesn't avoid the tension. It doesn't ignore the fact that sometimes people are healed and sometimes they're not. It doesn't ignore the fact that sometimes we have incredible faith and other days it feels like we have barely enough faith to hang on. It doesn't ignore that. It embraces the tension and prays big prayers anyway. Like, God, I need this healing right now. My body is broken. My mind is broken. I need you to come. I need a big taste of heaven today. God, heal my body and heal my mind and heal my soul. Heal my family. Heal my neighbor. Heal our city. We want to pray for anything around us that is broken in need of healing. And at the end of those prayers, we just say, God, I'm going to worship you no matter what. I trust you with however you answer these prayers. But I'm praying the big prayers. From this day forward, I'm contending for the promises of heaven on earth, leaving all the results up to you. Expectant faith prays to God for what you want and what you need, but it leaves all the results up to him. We need to pray big prayers. We need to expect big answers. And listen, we'll pastor each other and we'll care for one another through the no's and not yet's. But it's time to pray big prayers again and again and again. Rick Olmsted, who founded this church, I just got to hang out with him the other day. We were celebrating his birthday. He's such an encouraging man. And he said, Jeff, you know, one of the things that I want you to remember is that you need to make it really hard on God and really easy on you. Just make it really hard on God and really easy on you. Say, so just pray the big prayers. It's up to God anyway. You can't heal anyone. Take the big risk. God's the one who's going to make it come through. So make it hard on God and easy on you. And the thing with healing, right, is that it's oftentimes a mystery anyway. Why wouldn't there be a little tension in the mystery? I'm always a little wary of people who give me like formulas of healing prayer or formulas on how we can expect God to move in this way or that way. I'm not so sure we're supposed to approach God in formulaic solutions when it comes to something that's quite a mystery. And if you look at your own life and if you look at scripture, God moves in all kinds of different ways anyway. I mean, I've seen God move through very little faith at all. And he shows up because he loves us anyway. I've seen God show up when faith is at an all-time high. When you read scripture, there are times when Jesus reaches out and touches someone and they experience healing. But then our passage for today, he just says a word and someone in a different city is healed. There's a mystery to how all of this is working. And I want to add another one to our little equation on how healing sometimes shows up. I think God sometimes even moves through cranky faith. Just through real, honest, lousy attitude, cranky faith. I have had cranky faith before, and I've watched God move anyway. A few years ago, I was at a church service and a conference. It's the kind of conference that I would love to go to. It was all about learning how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit and follow God in the miraculous and experience his power and presence. These are the kind of places that I love to find myself in. And the speaker did a great job that day, and the worship leader came out with an incredible voice. Everything was great. The only problem was me. I was having a horrible week. I was tired. I was exhausted. I was lonely. And actually, the last place I wanted to be there or be in was like in that room for yet another speaker. I was tired of standing up and sitting down and singing songs. I was tired of praying for people next to me. I know this sounds really unholy, but this is the reality of where I was at. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to go home. And everything was going so great. And then after the speaker, kind of like Kingston's story, right? A lot like what we do here, except at a conference scale, the ministry leader came up and the ministry leader said, hey, if you're sick right now, we want to pray for you. We believe that God is going to move in this room. So if you're sick, could you just go ahead and stand? And I thought to myself, oh man, I know what's happening now. I know he's going to make us pray for everybody who's standing, and I really am not feeling it. And I was kind of sitting in the back, kind of off in the corner by myself. And sure enough, he goes, hey, if you're not standing, guess what? You're now on the prayer team. Go find someone who's standing and pray for them. And I thought, come on. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And then honestly, like I'm sitting there and people are moving around. And you know, like the most unholy thought I had, I ended up getting up and praying for someone. But it wasn't like a godly, like, yeah, God, you're on the move. I want to be a part of this kind of faith. It was, I know if I don't get up and pray for someone, people are going to start talking to me. and asking me why I'm not praying for the sick. Because I had helped in the conference earlier in the week, and I was getting to know people, and they were like, wow, what's wrong with Pastor Jeff? How come he's not praying for the sick? What's going on? So the only reason I stood up is because I didn't want to have more conversations with people. I just wanted to go home. I'm telling you, it was a foul and bad, cranky attitude. I'm not happy about it, but it's the reality of that moment. And so I stood up just so I wouldn't have to have any more conversations, and I walked over to the guy who was closest to me that was standing. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? How can I pray for you? And he stuck up his hand, and it was all curled up. Not quite in a ball, but pretty close. And he's like, I've got such bad arthritis, I can't even hold a guitar anymore, and I'm a worship leader. I can't sing. I can't play. I can't hold a chord. I can't lead worship like I always have, and I need God to show up right now with healing and power. I mean, this guy had tons of faith, and I had cranky faith. And I'm telling you, I was like creating the plan in my head on how I'm going to deal with this guy. I'm going to say the prayer, and I'm going to tell him, hey, you know what? Sometimes God doesn't heal. See ya. Have a good day. I've done my duty. Now you don't have to ask why I'm not praying for people. Listen, I've had a little more sanctification since then, but this wasn't that long ago, just to be honest. It wasn't that long ago. So I just offer up some weak, faithless, cranky prayer, and I'm like, God, creator of heaven and earth, I know you can heal. Give us a taste of heaven right now. In the name of Jesus, heal this man. And I'm telling you, the minute I prayed, the power of God fell on that guy. And he started to cry. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, oh, boy. He goes, whoa, something's happening here. And he starts opening his hands, opening and closing them. He starts crying and weeping. I feel the power of God on my hands. I don't know what's happening. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I wasn't too quick on the uptake. I was like, oh, man, now I'm going to have to pray for him again. I'm going to have to pray for him again because God's up to something. So I said, all right, I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm going to keep, because something, God's up to something. And he is, I mean, his face is lit up. He looks at me. I just have egg on my face, right? I mean, I'm like deadpan because I'm kind of a little annoyed that God is doing this. Truthfully, I'm probably a little annoyed because now that I know the Spirit of God is moving, now I've got to pray for more than just one person. I've got to walk around, and I truly do want to experience in the deepest parts of my heart what God is up to. I remember praying for him, and I remember thinking afterwards, Lord, why did you answer that prayer? Why? It was the worst prayer. Very little faith, a really bad attitude. Why? And you know what? God loved that man. He didn't want his hand to be like that. God wanted that man to be able to lead worship like he always had. God loved him enough to move through my weak and ineffectual prayer. And you know what? God loved me too. God wanted to heal the little part of my heart that made little moments like that more about how I was feeling or more about what I felt like God could do, even in spite of my lack of faith. God wanted to heal part of my heart. He didn't want me to stay the same either. I'm just telling you, sometimes, and it does help more often than not when you read the passages of the Bible, more often than not, great faith and expectant faith moves the heart of God and it catches his attention. But sometimes he'll move through the weakest, crankiest prayers as well because his love and his power, it's moving among us. He loves us too much to keep us the same. And so in a little bit, you can probably guess what we're going to do. We're going to pray for anyone who's sick. We're going to invite people who are hurting to receive prayer. And we're going to invite those who are healthy to pray for the hurting. And I want to do this because I have great and expectant faith that God wants to move among us. You know, last week when we gathered, we invited the power of God to begin moving among us and setting people free. And I bet 25 or 30 people raised their hands saying they were experiencing the power of God, not in a hyped way, not in a manifested way by human strength or some, you know, the perfect key chain on the worship set. It was just God moving. No hype. And we want to press into that. We want to keep asking God what he's up to. And if you have very little faith, if the moment I said we're going to pray for the sick, you started to think about how you could escape, take heart. because he might just give you a story anyway. He might give you a story anyway because he loves all of you with an unconditional love and he doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants to transform you from the inside out. As I wrap up, I want to revisit our scripture one more time this morning, emphasizing something from verse 7. Verse 7 says, I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. In this one verse, we learn so much about healing, but of course we learn so much about Christianity. Christianity isn't about making ourselves worthy, as if we can somehow earn salvation or earn a healing. We can't. Christianity says that even though we're not worthy, he is still faithful. Even when we're not worthy, he is still loving. Even if we're not worthy, he is still powerful and present to move among us. Because if Jesus just says the word, it'll be done. He said, Jesus, all you have to do is just say the word. And together in just a moment, we're going to seek a word of healing this morning. Asking God to move. Asking God to heal our minds and our souls and our physical bodies. So as we prepare for that time of ministry and prayer, let's pray together. Asking God to give us a measure of faith, whatever we have. It doesn't matter if it's small, medium, large. It doesn't matter if it's filled with happiness or a flavor of crankiness. Let's ask God to fill our hearts with his faith. And then let's ask him to move among us this morning. Pray with me.